About a year or two ago, I looked around my department and realized all of a sudden I wasn't the youngest in the team anymore. All my career, I have been the youngest, and I looked around and all of a sudden I'm 10 years older than everybody else. So I don't know how that happened, but I learned lots of new words, lots of pop culture that I've not been exposed to apparently in that decade. And recently I learned the word triggered. Are you familiar with the word triggered? It's this kind of anger that you're so mad that you have the right to be mad, and so you're just going to keep deciding to be mad anyways. And it's just kind of this idea that I want to think about for a little bit tonight. I think a lot of times, I'll tell you a story that made this word come up. There was a guy that just causes us so much pain at work. Every decision is a fight for no reason, and he's condescending and rude. And he came to us the other day with 15 pages from the IRS of how much. Sorry, David, Brian, close your ears. How much he owed, and it was our fault for doing his taxes wrong. And long story short, it wasn't our fault. And you could tell on my boss's face, he was happy about that. Just because this guy's a jerk, you know? And every time he comes up with a condescending or a different answer, she's going to fight it just on principle for being mad, because she has the right to be mad. We see these kind of concepts all the time, whether it's, why do I get every red light from here to Timbuktu, when really probably we just ignore the green lights that we never have to stop and think about, right? Or why is it that certain people are successful when they clearly show immoral flaws that shouldn't be obvious to everyone? And we feel like this righteous indignation of what we think should be correct in this world. Maybe it's our political parties. If only such and such were in such and such position, we could get the whole Supreme Court on our side and God's decisions would go forward, or I don't know. We can find ourselves being angry with what we feel is a righteous anger, and not understand what God's doing. For the last 8, 9, 10 weeks, every time Marshall comes out of class, he told us he studied Jonah, and we were... That's a good story, okay, 4 weeks on. Yeah, that's still a good story for little boys. Apparently, they haven't been studying Jonah for 10 weeks, but actually the last two or three sessions has been Jonah. And so I was thinking about Jonah talking with Marshall, and this, it's this idea of being triggered, that he has this idea of what God's righteousness is. He knows that when Israel sins, there has to be punishment, and there has to be, you know, we have the cycle of sin that we know about. And that's not happening with Nineveh. Nineveh is repenting, and no punishment is coming on him, and he just can't see how God is treating them righteously. And he's triggered. He's got this idea that he knows better. So much so that when God says nothing's going to happen, in chapter 4 of Jonah, it says, it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm." He turned these great qualities of God into bad things, into something he was angry over, because he thought he understood what God's righteousness was. And we find ourselves, I think, a lot asking, how can God's righteousness be true in this scenario? If our faith is stronger than that, good for you. We hear it a lot from our friends and our family and what we see on TV. And God's response is kind of easy. Is it right for you to be angry? Are you sure you know well enough to be good and angry about these things? And Jonah doesn't answer. He goes and builds a little lean-to and sits in it, because he's sitting there waiting for somebody to do something wrong in Nineveh and that condemnation to come down on him hard. And there's more to the story at the end, where God shows him, you have no power over this. You have no reason to be happy or sad. You didn't do anything about this situation, and yet you're angry anyway. And I don't know about you, but the end of Jonah is kind of like a big, it just ends with, we don't have getting good resolution. Jonah doesn't come around to anything good. And I don't want us to be like that. I don't want our hearts to be like that. And so let's take this lesson and understand we don't always know God's full picture. We don't always understand the righteousness of God. But faith and trust, that comes into play with big emotions, right? And this anger, this idea of being triggered may be one of those places that we need to focus our faith and trust in God. If you're living in sin, you might find yourself with a lot of anger. A lot of anger at yourself, a lot of anger, blame, pointing at other people. And we're here tonight to tell you that Jesus is the answer to all of those things. Jesus is the way to salvation and to peace. And you can only come to that through baptism and righteous living with God. And so if you've fallen away or you've learned about the gospel and wish to enter into that peace, we invite you to come forward now while we stand and sing.